experience our rightful heritage. See, I believe that Christmas time can be a time that we can experience God. Now, this is one of the bad things about the other side of Christmas, because it has the tendency to be so much in the media. See, you don't hear a whole lot about Jesus in the media. You hear more about the other side of Christmas. But we can get so blinded by that we don't experience what we need to experience during this Christmas time. See, Christianity, real Christianity, is not just a thing of knowledge and not just a thing of feeling. It's a thing of experiencing something. It's an encounter. It's an encounter with our Father God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But so, you know, part of this we have to step back and we have to look at the heart of our Father. And we're going to discover a couple of things, one this week and at least one next week. I really meant for this to be a little bit longer series, but y'all didn't show up for some reason last week. I told you not to, didn't I? I didn't want you hurt. In fact, I fell going to get my paper last Sunday. So that wasn't good. And some of us were more clumsier than others and got their arms in slings this week. But Galatians 4, I read that, didn't I? Here's what I want us to concentrate on today. And this is the point. This is what I want you to get. This is what I want you to understand. That God always keeps His promises. See, one of the greatest attributes of God, other than that He is love, is that God is faithful. Let's say that together. God is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. And I want us to step back and I want us to look at some things about Father God and His faithfulness. Now, He's not always fast. Have you noticed that about God? You know what? When I get hungry, I want to eat when? I want Christmas to be here. We're a now generation. We're an instant generation. But God doesn't work always on our timetable. God doesn't work according to the way that we think that He ought to work all the time, does He? And it's because we are so impatient. But God can be slow, but let me tell you, really He's not slow. Really He's not slow. God is always faithful. And I think back all the way to the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden. I want you to think back for a few moments how that God created man in His likeness and His image. And he was the only creature that was created in His likeness. Now, everything reflects God. But not everything is like God. I mean, it's His creation and it's His ideal. But you and I were the only thing that were created in His likeness, in His image. Most of the things that He spoke to what was already here. He said to the ground, bring forth this. Bring forth the trees. Bring forth. He spoke to the sea and He said, bring forth the living creatures. He spoke to something that He had already created. But see, when He created man, now I'm not talking about His body. I'm talking about His spirit. He breathed some of Himself into that clay body. And it says man became a living soul. And God created man for Himself. He created man for His purposes. He created man to be the thing that brought Him the most glory. Amen. See, the stars reflect the glory of God. The earth, if you study, you know, you get into science and you start seeing things, you're going to see God in all creation. You're going to see the presence of God in everything created. But you know, the sad thing is that the thing that was designed to bring God the most glory has brought Him the least. And I don't say that to put us down. See, we're hard-headed. Anybody fit that? Hard-headed, hard-hearted, rebellious. We think we got it figured out. We think we know. We know the way. But you know what? Besides all of that, God is faithful to us. God is faithful to His plans. He's faithful to His purposes. So man sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. He was separated from God by his sin. But one of the first things that God did is He came to man, and He dealt with Eve. He dealt with Adam. He dealt with Adam, then He dealt with Eve, and then He dealt with the serpent. And one of the things that He said to the serpent, He says, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman and between her seed and your seed. And it didn't say his seed, it said her seed. See, there's something significant here that a lot of Bible scholars say that this is the first promise of Messiah in the Garden of Eden. See, this shows us what God is like. See, He had the right to let Adam die. He had a right to let him stay separated and for him to be eternally separated from Him. See, but there was one thing that drove God, is that He loved His creature that was created in His image. And He wasn't willing. Listen to this. God wasn't willing for man to be eternally separated from Himself. So He promised. He made a promise. He began to put His word into the earth. Now, this is important that we get this, because this is the way that God operates. How did God create? He says, let there be light. Let there be this. Let the light be. I mean, you read Genesis 14 times, and God said, and it was so. And God said, it was so. God used His word. See, our Father is a word Father. God uses the vehicle of His word to proclaim and to create and to carry out His will. Now, a little sidebar here. I've been preaching at you folks, and going to the last Sunday of the year. Get ready, because we're going to talk about the importance of the Word in our lives. We've had you on Bible reading programs this year. Why? Why? Because that is the vehicle that God uses primarily to speak to you. So I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me. Well, you better put something in there that He can draw on. I mean, if you're putting As the World Turns and garbage, it's G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage in there, that's what's coming out. That's why we need a steady diet of the Word of God, because that is the thing that God uses to proclaim His way, His Word, and His will. And it's so important that we be doing that. And those of you that are reading through and are just about through, and some of you are ahead and already through, get ready, because I'm going to ask you to do it again next year. See, I don't want you just saying, well, I read the Bible through. No, we need the Bible as a discipline in our life. We need the Bible as a permanent fixture in our, not something sitting on your coffee table, but something that you put in your heart. David says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I guarantee you, if you want to cut down the sin, put the word in your heart. Okay, back to the main thought here. So God began to put His word into the earth. He says that the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent, and that he would bruise his heel. See, this is a great picture of what took place at Calvary. This is a picture of the virgin birth, talking about the seed of the woman. Didn't say anything about the seed of the man. It was the seed of the woman. And he says he's going to crush your head. So head is a picture of authority. He's going to break your authority, but you're going to bruise his heel. So that word got into the earth. And God's, listen to this, God spent about 4,000 years, now you're talking about God being slow, 4,000 years putting his word into the earth. See, God always declares what he's going to do. He always puts his word into the earth. Okay, let me just ask you a question. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by listening to the preacher, by the word of God. That's why you got to have that word in your heart, okay? So down through the ages, God is putting his word into the earth. Why? Because God always keeps his promises, but he's got to get his word into the earth. So it began in Genesis. And the next place I want to go is found in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. He's talking to Abraham, who he has made a covenant with. Now, God has a purpose for doing everything that he does. Can I say this to you? God is a covenant God. God swears himself to a covenant that he won't break. In fact, one of the attributes of God is that he cannot lie. See, people say God can do anything he wants to. No, he can't. He cannot. He can't. One of the things he cannot do is lie. Another thing that he cannot do is deny himself. He's always consistent with his own character. He's always consistent with his own nature. He cannot get outside of that. He has to be consistent with that. Now, you say, well, does that limit God? No, that doesn't limit God. It doesn't limit God at all. But he makes this promise to Abraham as he's made covenant with him. He says, I will make you a great nation, Israel, and bless you. Thank God for Israel. I will make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I'll curse. Now listen to this next phrase. All of the families of the earth will be blessed through you. I'm not sure Abraham understood that. And I'm not sure that he was talking necessarily specifically about the nation of Israel in that part right there. Although Israel is going to be the vehicle whom Messiah comes through. Okay? And I think that's a messianic promise, is that through you, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, how are we blessed? All the nations of the earth. We're not necessarily just blessed by Israel. We're blessed by the Messiah. Any nation. There are people in every nation that has come to know the Messiah. So what is God doing? He's putting his word into the earth. There's a promise to Judah in chapter 49. He says, the scepter shall not leave Judah. He shall keep a firm grip on the command staff until the ultimate ruler comes. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Messiah. What tribe did Jesus come from? He came from the tribe of Judah. He came from the tribe of Judah. So he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Later, the word gets more specific, and he says, not only is he going to come through Judah, it's going to come through David and his lineage. And, you know, God is getting his word into the earth, and he's refining it. You know, can I tell you something? Another sidebar here. I've got time. When God begins to deal with you and speak with you, he'll tell you things in general. And as you begin to read his words, you'll understand things in general. But the more that you're in the Word and the more that you're listening to God, he will begin to refine what he's saying to you. He uses, you know, the general gets the basis of what we need to know and understand. That's why it's necessary for young believers to get into the Word, because you're beginning to lay the foundation and you're giving the Holy Spirit something to build the the edifice that God is wanting to build in your life upon. And as you begin to read that word and meditate on that word and study that word, it gets clearer, it gets more specific, it gets more refined, and you begin to understand on different levels. It's not deeper necessarily. It's just getting clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. I went to church with an idiot one time. I'm not supposed to say that. I'm sorry, Cindy. But he was. Now, the church that I was raised in, we weren't too big on the Bible. We carried it and read some passages out of it, but some of our guys weren't too big on the Bible. So, you know, there's several of us in that church that we got saved. We received the Holy Spirit. And we began to want to do Bible study. So we brought that up in one of the meetings that was being had. And this elderly gentleman stood up and says, "You know what? I don't need a Bible study." So when I was young, my dad was sick and I read to him the whole Bible. I know the Bible. I don't need it. And I thought, what an idiot. I would hate to think that I thought that way. I heard Brother Hagin say one time, Lord, he was in the ministry for over 60 years, preached thousands of messages, read the New Testament through more than 100 times. He made the statement, he says, "I'd hate to die as ignorant as I am." You know why he understood what he understood? Because he knew that he didn't know it all. And when we get to think, you know, you hear somebody, "Well, we're going to preach on faith." I've heard that. You've just shut your ears and you're not going to hear anything that God says. There's still things that we can learn from John 3:16. Did you know that? We still have not fathomed the heights and the depths and of the love of God. There's still things that we can learn. So we need to be open to this word that God is giving. So God is putting his word into the earth. He raises up the prophets in the Old Testament. And they begin to speak to different groups. They begin to speak to Israel. And at different times in their history, he would raise prophets up. And they would give the word of the Lord. And some of it was very confrontational because Israel was pretty hard-headed. They kind of built their own religious system, kind of like the church in America has done. They built their own religious system. And the only problem with religious systems is that we usually systematically move God out and tradition in. That's another sermon. And so Israel did this. And God would raise up prophets and they would speak to them by the Holy Spirit. And despite the confrontational stuff that they did, there were times that they would speak, and I don't know if they knew what they were talking about, but they would speak about the future. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "But you, Bethlehem, David's country, the runt of the litter, from you will come the leader who will shepherd rule Israel." Who's he talking about? See, he's talking about Messiah. Where was Jesus born? Oh, little town of... That's where he was born. Now, that's not where he was from, but that's where he was born. How did that prophet know that? He didn't. He spoke that by the Spirit of God. Why was God speaking that? See, he was speaking his word into the earth. He was not only speaking that into the earth so that they could study and learn about it. He was speaking that word into the earth because he was creating the atmosphere for Messiah to come in. Now listen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For a child has been born for us, the gift of a son for us. He'll take over the running of the world. His names will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness. His ruling authority will grow, and there will be no limits to the wholeness he brings. He'll rule from the historic David throne over that promised kingdom. He'll put that kingdom on a firm footing and keep it going with fair dealing and right living, beginning now and lasting always. The zeal of the God of the angel armies will do his will. Who's that talking about? That's talking about Jesus. It's talking about Messiah. Then in chapter 7, verse 14, of Isaiah. Watch for this. See, this prophet is speaking hundreds of years before this takes place. He says, watch for this. A girl who is presently a virgin will get pregnant. She'll bear a son and name him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means what? God with us. See, that didn't happen 6 months before Jesus was born. That happened hundreds of years before Jesus ever came on the scene. What's God doing? He's systematically bringing his word into the earth so that one day in the fullness of time, he can bring it about. God always works through his word. I want to say that again. God works through his word. We need to know that. God works through his word. It's not circumstances. It's his word that he works through. Now, he may work in circumstances, but it's by his word. After the last prophet, there was 400 years of silence. There were no prophets raised up. Had God forgotten? Had he become idle? I don't think so. See, the Bible says God never slumbers, nor he never sleeps. He's always at work performing his purposes and his will. I love that about our Father. See, sometimes we think God forgets. Sometimes we think that God doesn't hear us. Sometimes we get disappointed by people. And we think, this Christian stuff, it just must not be real because of people. You can't look at people. You know, we people all have one thing in common. We're extremely flawed. I can let you down. I don't want to, but I could. Don't look at people. Don't judge God by looking at people. That's a sad thing to do. Don't base your opinion of God on your opinion of people. Listen, every one of us have fallen short. But see, here's the good news. God hasn't given up on us. I say this all the time. Don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. God's not finished with you yet. The moment that you were conceived in the heart of the Father God, he designed a plan and a purpose for your life that he is working tirelessly and endlessly to perform. Yeah, but I don't care how much you've sinned. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what drug you've been on. I don't care if you've been married 40 times. That ought to cover. Some of you have been married lots of times. I don't care if you've been married 40 times. That doesn't stop God's purposes from being fulfilled in your life. God can still do what he wants to do. Now, you got to let him, okay? He's committed to it. See the scripture tells us, and we're going to look at that in a minute. It says, just because we're faithless, he still abides faithful because he can't deny himself. You can keep God at arm's length, but he's still working to perform his purpose in you. He's committed to that. Okay. So 4,000 years from the promise to the fulfillment. Now, if we look at Israel, their big question probably is God really going to do what he said he will do. Now, I think sometimes we do that too. We pray about things. Maybe you pray about a mate, or you pray about a circumstance or a situation, a financial situation, and you're praying about it, and you think, it just doesn't seem like God's doing anything. Let me tell you, he is. He is. He's not really slow. Sometimes we just move too fast. He's an on-time God. He brings the things to us at the time that we need it the most. See, if we had our way, we'd mess it up. If we let him have his way, he'll fulfill his purpose. And can I tell you, you will be more happy doing it his way than you will trying to do it your way. Some of you have been a project. I'm telling you, you've been a project. We see Israel waiting for the promise, and we see them go through lots of things. They faced slavery in Egypt. They had battles to go into the promised land. They were in exile in Assyria and Babylon. They were, at the time of Christ, they were under Roman oppression. It didn't seem like any of the promises were working. I've been there. I've read what it says about healing. I've read what it says about my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I've read those things. But there have been times in my life it just seemed like God was slow. That he wasn't working at all. I saw myself years and years and years ago preaching before a large congregation. And we had 60 people. And it wasn't going up, it was going down. See, I have experienced supernatural church growth. Both ways. And going up is a whole lot more fun than going down. But sometimes going down is necessary to get to go up. But anyway, that's another story. But it just doesn't seem like God is at work. We have all of these circumstances. And, you know, Here's something that we need to say. Sometimes the hindrance is us. Sometimes the hindrance is us. See, we think that we have this need, but what we don't see, that God sees, that we have a greater need than the need that we perceive, and God is working on the greater need that will bring us to the thing that we desire. God is not opposed to blessing you. God is not opposed to supplying your needs. But sometimes it's a process of growth to grow into what God is trying to do in your life. Just don't be hard-headed and hard-hearted. It doesn't work well that way. Waiting is never easy, is it? I'm hoping that when I get home, Kathy will have lunch on the table. Good luck with that. I don't want to wait. I want to walk in and eat. Everything's now. Everything is now. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we have no faith, he will still be faithful, for he cannot go against what he is. So what was God doing the whole time, this 4,000 years? He was getting his word into the earth. And guess what happened when the fullness of time came? Can I say this? It didn't come like Israel thought it would. They didn't see it, and they didn't receive it. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. We've been like that before, haven't we? He comes to his own children. And his own children receives him not. They don't receive his word. But he was getting his word into the earth. He was being consistent with who he is. See, I love Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, the Lord said to me, you have seeing correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. God is committed to his word. You know why? Because his word is his nature. His word is his bond. His word, he said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word won't pass away. Psalms 107:20. He sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. That's the way God is. So when the fullness of time came, I want to read the Christmas story to you, okay? But I don't want to read it from Luke. I want to read it from John. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Do you know the Bible tells us that Christ was present in creation? Well, it doesn't say Jesus. Jesus is his earthly name. Jesus is his human name. Who was he? He was the Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Remember? And God said, let there be light. What was the Spirit of God doing? And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the darkness. So what happened? It was conceived by Father God. It was released through words. And the Holy Spirit took those words and brought about that creation. See, Father, Son, and Spirit were all present in creation. They were all active in creation. And he is called the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. That 4,000 years or more that God was faithfully putting his Word into the earth. When that angel came to Mary and said, you're going to bring forth a son, and you're going to name him Jesus. And she says, be it unto me, even as you have spoken. She received the Word, and the Word caused her womb to produce a child that we know as Messiah. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And you know what he did? He went about showing us what the Father looked like. He went about showing us the heart and the will of the Father. And when he had done that, he died for our sins. He died for our sins. See, we need to know that. That's how God works. And God is always faithful to his word. Amen. See, I want you this next week, I'm going to ask my prayer team to come on up. But I want you to take time to meditate on God's faithfulness this week. Not just meditate on it. I want you to find time in your prayer time, your devotion time, or whatever time it is that you do. And if you don't, you need to meditate on God's faithfulness and to celebrate in a different light than what we celebrate Christmas. See, we're rejoicing that the Son was born, but listen, he came forth from the Father who loved us with everlasting love and who is extremely committed to us. I want to close with this verse, then we're going to pray. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. This is in the Amplified Bible. I'm convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue into the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. Every one of you here today, I don't care where you are spiritually, God's got a plan for your life. You may be lost as a goose, but I want to tell you, in your lost condition, God has got a plan for you. But it begins with you making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, to receive the Word into your heart that will transform you. Maybe you're saved, but you're not where you need to be spiritually. God has, listen to this, God hasn't given up on you. God's not through with you. He's still at work to work His plan in your life. Don't you think it's time to surrender? Don't you think it's time to quit being hard-hearted and hard-headed? See, we all have to come to that decision. I've had to come to that decision lots of times. Even as a Christian, that God wanted to do a work and I resisted. And it's when you begin to yield to Him that He can start doing what He wants to do in you. So today, whatever your need is, if you need to come to faith in Christ, any one of these people can pray with you to find Jesus as Lord. Maybe you need to make a decision. Maybe you need to repent. I don't know. I don't know what your need is. I don't know what the Holy Spirit has said to you today. But I do know this, that He's talking to people here today. So as I pray, if you have other needs, if you need healing, whatever it is, come and they'll pray with you. Let's pray together. Father, thank You today. Thank You that You are the faithful God. You are the faithful God. One that sees us and knows us. And You're so committed to us, no matter what. Thank You for Your love today. Thank You for Your work in our hearts. And Lord, we just celebrate Your faithfulness today. Holy Spirit, thank You for speaking to people's hearts. And thank You that they have the courage to respond. I bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?